Hello?
Hey, what's up? Have you heard of post-lockdown bucket lists?
Oh yeah, it's very viral.
Today we're joined with our first guest. If you'd like to introduce yourself.
My name is Ryan, and Elijah's boyfriend, so that's pretty exciting. And I'm excited to... This is my first podcast, so it's kind of exciting.
It's all right. It's our like fifth podcast, so we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, it's definitely a learning curve. It's kind of weird just sitting here talking, but it's almost kind of like filming a video. So it's kind of in the same world.
It is, yeah. You just don't have to worry about what to do with your hands.
I will say I love not being on camera. Like just sitting here talking, you don't have to like worry about like what to wear, like what you look like. Like I'm just kind of chilling. It's great.
It's the blessing of doing a podcast is you don't have to worry about what you look like.
It's very true.
We don't really have a topic.
Well, I mean, I guess I would love to hear more. I mean, we've talked in a couple of episodes now about coronavirus and things to do. And I think it'll be interesting kind of to hear. I mean, we've heard your side, Elijah. It'll be interesting to hear Ryan's side of what you guys have been doing or what the experience has been like, maybe even as a couple.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like our experience is kind of similar just because we do live together, but I feel like it's kind of like every day is different. You sort of just have to play it by ear. And I think we're still kind of learning like new things to do in quarantine and kind of learning how to adapt. I think it's a very like ongoing process for sure.
Well, you're still working, right? So there's some normalcy.
Yeah, there's definitely like some normalcy. It's a little bit different though, just because I'm locked inside all day, which I was before filming and stuff. But I think now, not being able to go anywhere, I think it takes a little bit of the inspiration out a little bit, so it kind of can make it a little bit harder. But I mean, other than that though, I think I'm still adjusting, but I'm definitely kind of getting into a rhythm of things.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. If you're forced to stay inside, it's very different from choosing to stay inside.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like I'm an introvert, but I still like to go out and like run errands. I still could go to Target. So I like having my errands, and now that I can't do those errands, I'm a little bummed. But other than that though, I guess it is a plus side being an introvert, having been in quarantine.
Has its perks for sure.
Like I can imagine how extroverts are doing right now. Y'all good?
Yeah, it's got to be really tough. Maybe we'll all be introverts by the end of this.
Honestly,
is it possible to change?
That's what I'm expecting out of all of this, because I'm getting used to just staying inside and not really doing anything. And now that I started school, I can just focus all my time on that. And
yeah,
I mean, we haven't been able to go out to any bars or go to any shows or anything, so it's just a weird period of like, is this the new normal?
Right. Movie nights and inside, like you guys did.
Yeah.
I will say too, being freshly 21, this was supposed to be my year. I was supposed to be going out. I was supposed to be having fun, living life. So that is kind of a bummer. I kind of didn't realize that until like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh wait, this is supposed to be like my time to be 21. So that's kind of a bummer, but.
And we only got blocked out like one time together.
Yeah. Like we haven't really gone out together. That we went like a few times, but not like blackout.
Yeah, we never went out like to go hard.
Could just do it here.
Oh, which actually, that is something that we are going to be doing. Is we're going to do
getting
a bar
blackout
night.
Drunk together.
Yeah. So
oh,
we ordered a bunch of bar material stuff. So cocktail mixers, black napkins. And we're going to set up a bunch of lights and make it like a club night.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
It's just something.
So who's going to be the bartender, or is one of you going to be the bartender, or are you both going to be people sitting down at the bar?
So Elijah's going to be the bartender. I'm going to be the person that's like coming to the bar. And I have this whole scenario in my head where we're just going to like pretend like we don't know each other. And I'm going to go up to the bar. He's going to ask for my ID. It's going to be a whole situation. I'm really, really excited for it.
That's cute. Will he believe your age, or is he gonna say you look too young?
I don't know. I kind of want him to question it so I can like feel like I've still got youth left in me.
Yeah, this feels like it could go in a lot of directions.
The possibilities are really
I was just saying, like, you could almost be the bartender and the security guard that drags them out, but then Ooh. That could also be kind of a role play thing.
You're
too.
You're ruining my plan.
This is like,
I was gonna tell him that so I don't believe that his ID is real.
I think it's all about getting creative too. Like, as quarantine goes on, I think we're like more and more realizing that like this isn't gonna be over like anytime soon. So it's sort of just like coming to that realization and then just getting creative sort of. And it's been kind of fun to see how we've been getting creative and also just like how like everyone else in the world is getting creative.
I can't say that I'm being very creative.
I was going to ask.
I think that you guys are far more creative than we are. Our creativity has been limited to both Deborah and I being quarantined at separate times within separate bedrooms.
Has there been like a really fun moment of quarantine that you recall?
No, it's been interesting. I mean, it feels strange to be quarantined within your own house mm-hmm. and in separate bedrooms because you're calling each other sometimes on the phone, but you're in the same house. So I was saying that when I was in quarantine and Deborah would call me, I could hear her speaking on the phone and also speaking like in the other room. So it was always like this slight lag. And I was like, you could just talk normally, but then like I talked and she couldn't hear me. So then we had to use the phone. So I guess there was some opportunity for role play there as well.
I mean like, true. You could always circle
call
back.
Center operator or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nothing creative. So if you guys both get blackout drunk and you don't remember the night before, did it really happen?
I mean, I think there'll definitely be some remnants. I think we're going to wake up and there's going to be a lot of questions going around. I think Dudley's going to have a party at Han, some Mardi Gras beads. It's going to be fun. I'm excited.
Dudley will remember for you guys.
Dudley will definitely remember. There's going to be some social media posts for sure. It's going to be good. Although it could be the opposite and we could just black out in 2 hours and then that's it.
But that just makes the next time you do it a fresh experience.
Exactly.
True. You could repeatedly do this bar night scenario because neither of you might remember the previous one.
I feel like also we have to figure out what type of club it's going to be. Like the music choice, like is it going to be top 100? Is it going to be electronic? Most likely electronic. Or is it going to be hip hop? Are we going to have multiple rooms? So there's like the second floor and that can be like a different dance room. And then the first floor can be like the main area. I don't know yet.
I'm thinking like underground goth vibes. Like that's in my head. That's what I envisioned. I don't know about you.
Can you guys set up a camera just to film this?
Just vlog
and possibly, yeah. And if it's PG rated, possibly share it because it sounds incredible. It sounds almost like an improv show that you guys are putting on by yourselves at home.
I mean, that's something that I've always wanted to get into is improv. My brother did improv growing up, and I always thought it was so cool. But I just don't know if I get really stressed under pressure, and that sounds like a lot of pressure. So I don't think it'd be a good outcome.
There's only one way to find out. We should take some improv classes.
I would 100% be down. That sounds like a lot of fun.
I'd be down. There's a show on Netflix. Who is the Netflix is the unofficial sponsor of this podcast, and they
Apparently.
Don't know it. It's called Middleditch and Schwartz. So Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz. They're both comedians.
Oh, I
and
saw a thing
they
about
do.
That.
Yeah, they do like a series of improv shows, basically. So just the two of them in front of a live audience, and they have like a number of episodes. It's pretty good. I highly recommend it. Yeah.
There's a show called, I think it's improv. It's Whose Line Is It Anyway? I think that's improv.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny too.
It's like classic 90s.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that was it's a pretty old show.
Yeah,
probably before I was born, honestly.
I think it was. Not thinking, 99. It definitely was.
Just the people on it were of a past generation of comedians. I feel
they
like
they really were, though. It's crazy.
Like, yeah, but that was a great show.
I don't know their names, but I know what they look like. I could pick them out of a lineup.
But yeah, I mean, like, improv is huge. I feel like in LA, they're like UCB has a number of improv shows. I think Groundlings has improv shows. So there's a lot of opportunity to get into improv.
I think we've actually been to UCB or Groundlings. We went to one because some friends of ours, they were doing an improv show, and it was actually really, really good. I was laughing at a lot of it. There was one girl in particular that which I don't remember her name now, but I really wanted to go find her other shows because she was like hilarious.
Oh, really?
There's a lot of talent in LA for sure.
There was also some cringy moments, but I mean, we don't really.
Yeah.
We don't think about that. We just think.
I was gonna say.
During an improv show.
Yeah. Because I think sometimes there's some people, especially when they're performing, they either lock up or they literally have no idea how to respond to something. So it just becomes uncomfortable because there's that awkward pause.
Oh.
Where they're trying to figure out what to say. And then what they say next isn't even funny. So it's like, ooh.
And that's why I won't be doing improv.
Right.
It's like, so you it's have not the opportunity.
Yeah. So they weren't all professionals. So there was like a bit of a mix.
It was definitely a mix.
Okay. For sure. I guess on that note, is there anything that you guys are like excited to do after quarantine? Like anything that's really just, it's tugging at you that you want to do?
I think for me, it's like the simple things.
Mm-hmm. Like the mundane.
Like just the things. Yeah. Like going back to a restaurant. Yeah. You know, just like sitting down and eating and just being able to go outside and like hang out with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like just being able to go to like your guys' place or someone else's place and just hang out.
That's the one thing that I almost regret before all of this happened was, I mean, we would do stuff, but we didn't do like, I don't know, like there's so much more that we could be doing. And it's crazy that a situation like this makes that aware. Like, it brings that realization that you weren't doing things that you should have been doing and enjoying your time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's like definitely the mundane things, just like being able to run errands. And also just like, I guess my answer now that I'm 21 is just definitely, I just want to go out and like, not even go out, but just like go and, I don't know, like enjoy more things. Kind of like what you were saying, like there are so many things that like we could have been doing, going to the beach. Like, I feel like we almost kind of take for granted living in LA sometimes. Because literally, like, you can do anything here. Like, anything you want to do is probably within an hour away. You know what I mean? So, definitely coming out of this, just doing whatever.
Seizing the moment.
Right?
Yeah, it's like, you don't appreciate what you have until it's gone, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we should write all these things down and just make sure we take advantage as much as we can after.
Oh my God, after quarantine bucket list.
That sounds fun. And then there you go.
Just like picture it like a montage of like doing all these things on a bucket list. It sounds fun. Make a show out of it. MTV. There was a show on MTV called Buried Life. I don't know if you guys remember that, but it was basically like this group of guys that did like their bucket list. It was really good. I liked it.
Was this like a recent show?
No, maybe like 10 years ago.
Oh.
Like 8 years ago. It got canceled, but it was good. I liked it.
these are the shows Ryan as a teenager was watching.
Yeah, as
angsty teens.
For sure. When I was like 6, watching like, what was it called? Parental Control.
Oh, Parental Control.
Next. There's a lot of really good ones on MTV. It's not the same now.
No, now it's all about like 16 Pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And The Challenge, I think. Yeah, Challenge.
And see, like, even those, like, 16 Year Pregnant was so good, and then it got bad.
That's why we have been hyping Netflix with all of their reality shows, because they just feel like a heightened sense of all the past shows that basically shaped trash TV.
Yeah. They've learned their lessons from shows that they never that they didn't create.
Mm-hmm. They like
it's like
they let MTV do the what is it called? They kind of let them make the mistakes and they learn from them.
Yeah. Yeah, which is smart. I mean, Netflix, like, they were a late entry into just shows in general too, and I feel like they've taken advantage of the lessons learned by other studios. And
another thing of being in quarantine together is our personalities are morphing.
Oh yeah, are you morphing like into one person?
Yeah, if you spend I mean, pretty much every single day around the same person, you almost become the same person, but without becoming the same person. I don't know how to describe it.
It's been interesting. Like, this is the longest that we've ever spent together.
Yeah. Like, there's been times where we think the exact same thing, and one of us will say it, and we both look at each other like, no.
I would say it's happened at least 5 times so far in quarantine.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like a lot, but, like, that's kind of a lot.
I think that's pretty normal. I think the more time you spend, like, Deborah and I are like that too, but
I was gonna say, because how long have you guys been together?
I'm used to it. Gosh, at this point, 14-15 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Congrats. Maybe,
yeah,
you're like, over the course maybe of 15 years. It happens.
yeah happened at least one time for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think that's like that's one of the things that people are being forced to confront in this coronavirus, is like relationships. Especially, you know, people that have decided to move in together without maybe previously having lived together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems, it seems like a stressful time to like do that, but I guess people are making it work.
So some people are like deciding to move in together during quarantine?
I think so.
That doesn't seem smart to me.
Yeah, I feel like that's a bad move. That's checkmating your own relationship.
And it could be like the best relationship ever, but it's like if it's still fresh, I think with any relationship, quarantine is putting like at least like some sort of strain, as far as like it could be anything really.
Yeah.
And so for like a beginning relationship, it could kind of psych you out.
I don't know if it maybe is like a beginning relationship, but I think in a way it's like, you know, the scenario I'm picturing is in Love is Blind, where if one person doesn't have like such a nice place to live. Okay, let's take out the Love is Blind. That had no relevance to what I'm about to say. I just wanted to throw in a plug for
Netflix.
But yeah.
Our unofficial sponsor.
Thank you, Netflix, for sponsoring this episode unofficially. I was watching Idol the other day, American Idol, and one of the contestants was like, yeah, I moved in with my girlfriend. I don't know how long they've been together, but he was like, yeah, her place is like far nicer than mine, so we decided we'll just make it work. So I'm like, that's a bold move.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't trust it. Rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, especially them making that comment. That's like, oof.
Yeah. I mean, other people have said that they've moved home as well. Like instead of, or even moved out because they had older grandparents at home, so they decided to move to like a new apartment or something like that.
I mean, my mom, she texted, like, when this all started happening, even my stepdad too, they both were like, maybe you should just come home. And I thought they were kidding. And I was like, oh, like, haha. And they're like, no, like, we're serious. I'm like, okay, let me just like up and leave this house that we just got. Like, you know, we have a dog. Like, there's a lot of variables here. So
yeah, do you have any siblings?
I do. I have one brother. He lives in Pennsylvania, actually.
What do you know if he also got that same pitch to come home?
Well, I mean, my mom always kind of wants him to come home. I think even for me too, she always drops those comments, and I just kind of like write them off. But I think he was actually been talking about coming home. So even more so now, my mom is like, "Oh, just go and do it now." I'm like, "Mom, there's things that are involved in moving." But I think he's hunkering down for the rest of the quarantine and saving money. I think he has to actually to work too, because he's considered essential. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like my mom is always asking me to move back too. So my mom lives in Pennsylvania, and so she's been asking me like, "Hey, you wanna move closer? LA, you have earthquakes, so hey, you wanna move closer?
The dreaded big one.
Maybe come back." Yeah.
Would you ever move to Pennsylvania?
I don't know if I'd move back home. I mean, I grew up on the East Coast, so I lived in, I grew up in Pennsylvania, north of Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to school in New Jersey, and then I lived in D.C. for 2 years. So I like the East Coast, but I love it here way more. And so I think if I were to move back, like, I think I'd consider moving to D.C. or possibly New York. Probably like somewhere on Long Island if it were New York, so somewhat suburby.
Mm-hmm.
But I think both Deborah and I really like LA, so we can't really imagine leaving here anytime soon.
That's the thing, living here, I mean, it took me a while to adjust living here, because Ryan and I already lived here for almost a year, or just over a year before I moved here. And mm-hmm. now I'm acclimated to LA, and it would just be weird living somewhere else. It would definitely take time to get used to, just because I feel like the culture out here is so different.
Did you just feel like when you walked outside, there was just like this bright ball in the sky that you had never seen before?
Oh my gosh. Living in Washington, I would see the sun maybe 3 months out of the year. Other than that, it was just very gray and overcast. So that was definitely an adjustment that I got used to so fast and would not be willing to give up.
The sun likes to hang out in LA even. It doesn't hang out in the Northeast as much.
It really doesn't.
Or Northwest.
Yeah, I would say it'd be weird to live somewhere different. Like, growing up, I always wanted to live in New York. It just always seemed really, really exciting. And I went there when I was like 8 and I was obsessed with it. But like, as I got into this career, it just, LA made more sense. So yeah, I don't think I really see myself living anywhere else. Maybe New York, but everything is just so expensive and everything's so tiny there as far as like housing. So
yeah, there's some basic things that, like, I asked a friend, if you went and you need to buy like a microwave, how do you get it home? And in LA, that would never be a question. You could drive, you could Uber, you know, you stick it in a trunk. He said he ended up walking to the Target and then lugging it home like a few blocks. I'm like, I can't picture walking down the street with a microwave in hand.
But I will say, I feel like if you're going to do that, New York is the place to do it. Because what I really love about New York, and is like a major selling point, is that I feel like no one really like cares about you, which like sounds bad. But at the same time, it's like if you're just walking down the street, like literally no one's looking at you. So I think that's kind of nice. So if you're walking down with a microwave, or you'd be walking down like the most weirdest outfit, and like no one really cares. Everyone's just like on the go.
They just assume that there's a story behind it and they don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
I was cutting a client's hair, and he had lived in New York for 15 years for work. And the thing that he said that he hated about LA, but he loved about New York, was I don't know how to describe it. Basically, the class divide is still there in New York, but it's not as apparent because everyone of all classes are in the city together at the same time. Like, they're all around each other. Versus here in LA, it's so obviously segregated as far as the extremely wealthy people and the people of low class or middle class. Like, there's a huge divide. Versus in New York, you're all around each other.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I guess you don't think of New York having a Beverly Hills.
Mm-mm.
Or a Malibu.
I mean, there's like Billionaire's Row, but other than that.
Right. And the Hamptons on Long Island. But mm-hmm. I mean, that's totally true. Like, I would say growing up over there and like going to New York, every time I was in the city, it was just so diverse. I feel like here you walk into different neighborhoods and you kind of expect, I mean, like, we have a Koreatown that is a lot of Koreans, and then we have like other parts, like a lot of Chinese people in San Gabriel Valley. Like, it feels like there's been some kind of choice, like communities that people have kind of flocked together.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in New York, it never really felt like that. It just felt like you just told people where you lived, and it was just like the intersection of whatever and whatever. It wasn't like a specific neighborhood that you felt like that was your people.
Mm-hmm.
So much. I don't know.
It's like you don't feel like groups of people, I guess. It's just everyone's sort of like blended together. And I think don't they call New York like a melting pot of like, mm-hmm. of everyone? I think that's a pretty good description of it, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Even in LA, but I think LA's, it's not so much like a melting pot of everyone together. It's like maybe multiple little melting pots. I don't know. It's definitely separated.
LA is like a takeout container. Like, you have each each food in one big platter, but separated into its individual squares.
That's literally how LA is.
Mm-hmm.
What about anywhere else? Could you picture your living? If it wasn't LA or New York, do you think any other cities would be appealing?
I mean, I would love to live like in Italy.
Wouldn't we all?
Like somewhere rural. If I were to choose a different city within the United States, most likely New York, but I know that would be temporary. Like I wouldn't want to live there long term, but maybe for a few years. I'd rather just live in a different country.
I think I'm more and more realizing that I can't really do like suburban life sort of, or it's just not really like my thing. So I feel like LA is kind of it, or New York, or like someplace outside of LA, but still kind of that like hustle and bustle feel, city feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think LA is not as, because it's so sprawled out, it doesn't have as much of a, like New York feels like a real city, mm-hmm. I guess. Like a big metropolis, whereas LA, you know, people come here and they see the photos of downtown, and like that's what people think of when they think of LA. But when you get here, in reality, like it takes a while to get to each place.
It's not a walkable city for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I would consider the Valley the suburbs.
That's definitely what I'm realizing. Like it's very the Valley's very suburban, but
yeah.
I think that's what I do like about LA though, is you can kind of experiment with like a lot of different areas and still be within like the city and still get to work even if you move to like the next city over, you know what I mean? So I think it kind of gives you time to figure out like what you want. Like so far this is like my third city within LA that we've lived in, and I think it's given me a sense of like what I want like after this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean you can pretty much work from everywhere. So
I mean, same thing with Elijah, with like the career that he's going into.
Yeah, you guys have this all planned out.
Part of the reason why I chose the career field I'm going into. So that way we can literally move wherever we want and I won't have to worry about commuting.
That's going to be really good in LA, like not having to commute anywhere.
I mean, I most likely want to get my own office space, but it's going to be within like 5 minutes. If that's doable. Mm-hmm.
So as far as, I think we've talked about where we might want to go after all of this is done. What's on your, let's say, top three places to travel following quarantine?
Ooh, that's kind of hard.
Paris. I mean,
oh yeah, Paris. I would love to go to Thailand again, but because we already went, I feel like that's kind of like wasting an answer. So yeah, I'm going to say Paris, maybe Canada. I've never been to Canada before. And then someplace tropical.
Like, I want to go to Japan.
Like, oh, yeah. Japan, too.
Yeah.
I want to go to Japan so bad.
We really want to go back to Japan. That's definitely on our list.
Should we just do a group trip?
I'd be
down. Yeah. I mean, the point of me asking is so that I know where we're going together.
A group trip to Japan sounds like so much fun.
Because
we've never been. Yeah.
And I will say also with, like, traveling people, I feel like you learn, like, a whole new side of them. So it'll be fun.
Learn the airport personality of every person.
Well, it could be good, or it could be good, or it could be bad.
Yeah,
I'm optimistic.
I think there are some. I think like you realize when you're traveling with people. Well, one, whether people are morning people or like evening people, whether they like to eat out a lot or they like to just grab whatever like is available on the go, and whether they like to like see nature stuff or museums.
I feel like I'm a weird combination of all the above.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
I'm pretty much, I really am a go with the flow type of person. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'll have fun no matter what we do.
Yeah. Okay. I think we'll get along. I'm definitely like that too. Like, I think just being there will be fun. Like, I think everything that you experience in this place will be new and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't go in really having
no expectations, just go with the flow
and see. If you don't have expectations, you can't be let down.
Exactly,
that's the motto.
That's the title of this episode. Low expectations.
Did I just come with the title? I feel good.
No expectations.
COVID expectations. So Ryan, you said Canada. Is there like somewhere in Canada specifically?
I mean, not really. I just think because, like, growing up in Washington, I feel like everyone that I always went to school with, like, they all went to Canada just because it was so close. And for some reason, it just seems really, really appealing. Yeah, like, it just seems really, really pretty, really snowy. It just seems relaxing. But I think there's also a city, too.
Yeah, isn't most of Canada wilderness? I can't think of that many really large cities in Mm-mm. In Canada.
Yeah. Is Toronto?
Yeah, Toronto's a big city. Vancouver, like they have, I mean, big cities. Ontario. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But
yeah,
a lot of it is like rural areas. Because then I went to a festival that was in Salmo, which is basically a town in the middle of nowhere in between mountains. And just driving through all the roads out there, I mean, it's unbelievable how gorgeous it is. Definitely if you prefer like trees and mountains nature versus like a tropical island experience.
It's like, for me, I think like I'm in like a mood sometimes to do like the tropical thing, which was like Thailand. But then I feel like the one, I mean, if we were going to be going somewhere this year, I feel like want it to be more like relaxing, or I don't know, like Canada would have been really fun.
I mean, you could still, I feel like if it's no one around, you could find a cabin and go there for quarantine.
Yeah, we were thinking that too. I think yesterday we were talking about it, just like going taking camping. A road trip. Oh yeah, going camping. But yeah. I don't know if Airbnb is like letting people rent. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think like they've banned short-term rentals, but I think past a certain amount of time you can, so if you're going for maybe a couple weeks, you might be able to find a place.
In like a couple weeks, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too, because I feel like if phase two is happening now, I would imagine that things would at least somewhat try to start getting back to normal, just in like a modified way.
Yeah, phase two, huh?
It's so weird. It's going to take so long for us to get back to quote-unquote normal.
It's definitely going to be different from everyone, mm-hmm. or for everyone, I should say. Like, I think, you know, personally, I can't really imagine going back to normal until probably later this year or next year, mm-hmm. yeah. most likely next year. But there seem to be people that now, as soon as the beach is open, they're like, hell yeah, I'm going to the beach, and don't care how many people are around me.
As I'm like, I think low-key we are going tonight because of the plankton that are in the water. It makes the water glow in the dark.
Oh, where at?
I think at all the beaches. Like,
oh.
I don't really plan on getting out of the car.
No.
We're just going to stay in the car, but we just want to like drive by, because it's literally like, when you say like glow-in-the-dark water, it's like glow-in-the-dark water. It's
like,
weird.
The waves are like, whoa, an electric blue.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I feel like you could probably, somewhere on the PCH, you could see.
Yeah, even just drive on the PCH.
Yeah.
And honestly, even if we don't see anything, it's like an hour to get out of the house, so, and just drive.
Yeah, what we've been reduced to, an hour out of the house is great.
Yeah.
It's like our version of going out.
Just crazy to think, to plan a trip to the beach and to feel like you have to stay in the car. Who would have imagined?
Like, to feel like that's an outing.
Right.
That's how we're going out to get our form of entertainment for the night, is we are going in the car. We're not going to leave the car.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even just like going to the, like walking to the gas station. Like, yeah. That's pretty exciting for me.
I know. I feel like you're like, do you want anything from the gas station? I'm going to go.
Literally.
Just an excuse to get out. I don't blame you, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Got a slushie yesterday. That was exciting. It's the little things.
The people you encounter at the gas stations.
I definitely try to avoid people at all costs. Yesterday, I saw a man peeing, so I walked in and got my slushie and walked out.
Oh, that's pleasant.
Another casual day in LA.
At least he was doing it outside and not on a subway train or something like that.
Yeah, true. Although I'm like, he could have been at least like a little bit more discreet. Like, there was a bush you could have hidden.
I don't know. Maybe he wanted people to see.
I mean, that's a whole other topic.
He's an exhibitionist. He's like, I want someone to catch me peeing.
That's like a whole other topic. That could be a full-on, that could almost be like a podcast series.
Yeah, exhibitionism. I can't say that word.
The exploration of exhibitionists.
Ooh. Right.
That could be a Netflix title.
Netflix, again, our unverified sponsor.
Yeah, we should toss in a few more. Let's throw in Prime Video.
I will say though, like in your guys' defense, I feel like Netflix is sponsoring everyone's life right now.
I completely agree. I think Netflix is such a monopoly on shows that people want to watch and are watching. I mean, it's not called Prime Video and Chill for a reason.
Exactly.
Yeah, like I would love to see what Netflix's numbers these days are, and I'm sure it's way, way up.
Well, Ryan told me, I think this was a couple of weeks ago, that they had gained over 1 million subscribers within a 4-week period.
Oh, no, 16 million.
I stand corrected. Not a million, 16 million.
But it's like, it makes sense, though. It's like, if you think about how many people were employed that are now unemployed and didn't have the time when they were working, and now they do. It's like, it makes sense, I guess. I'm sure there's even more now.
And since a lot of people aren't actually paying for their own accounts, an expense that they have to worry about.
We have someone on our account too, don't we?
No, we kicked them off because they changed the password. We couldn't figure out who was using the Netflix, but it kept popping up different shows for the continue watching. And I kept I was like, what the hell? Like, we are not watching these shows. And so finally I was like, okay, I'm just going to change the password.
Anything embarrassing?
No, it was like, I think it was like Grey's Anatomy and something else. It was just very like sad shows. Whoever was watching was not doing too hot.
I wonder if you should have found out who it was, because it might be a cry for help.
Oh.
Ow.
That took a dark turn, Gary.
Way too dark.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I feel like it might be like our dog sitter, maybe. I don't know. But then again, I don't know how you would have gotten our password for it.
It was somewhere we had to have logged on to Netflix somewhere. And they were just using it.
Yeah, that happened to us too. Like, I was, my mom was watching our Netflix account. And one day we were like, we logged in and randomly just some show. Like, I think she only watches one show on Netflix. So it wasn't obvious to us immediately, but we were just like, it was like Blood and War or something. Yeah, we were like, wait, we definitely didn't watch that show. And then we watched the show, and then we came back to it, and it had moved on to the next episode. And so we were like, someone's using our Netflix account.
Like, someone's currently using it.
For a couple of weeks. Yeah, we had no idea. And then my mom one day was like, hey, so how do I open Netflix? And I was like, what do you mean? You don't have a Netflix subscription. And she was like, oh, no, you guys logged in. Oh, so you're watching Blood and War.
That's honestly, I'm kind of surprised that they allow that, like, so many people to use one account.
Especially on opposite sides of the country, right?
Because what's the limit? Isn't it like 3?
3 to 5. It depends on the account that you have. But that's for devices to watch at the same time. Whereas, I mean, you could probably have 10 people that have your login info. And so the first 5 people that started something will be able to watch something versus the other 5 people wouldn't be able to.
They might just be making so much money anyway that
they don't even care.
They don't even care, yeah.
Can you imagine how much more money they'd make?
But I wonder, like, if anything, it might encourage people to sign up if they know that they can share the account with like friends. You know, it's like $2 a month for 6 of us versus me paying $12 a month. I might be more willing to sign up for an account.
True. I wonder too if they do it because they know it like boosts the views for Netflix as far as like shows go. Because if those people wouldn't get their own account, then if they're on someone else's, they're still at least boosting the views for things. I just thought about that now. That could be why. I'm sure they've got their ways. The people higher up at Netflix they're doing just fine.
They're smart people. So as far as kind of, you know, quarantining together, do you feel like after quarantine you guys will want to spend more time apart? Or have you kind of gotten used to
being together? I feel like maybe initially, I don't know. But I don't think we'd go like out of our way to. I don't know.
As I'm like, I couldn't imagine really doing like a lot of things without him. Like going out and going to concerts and stuff. Like, I want to do all of that so much more together and just experience everything.
And I guess too, like coming out of this, because there was so much stuff that we wanted to do this year and like, we can't do it now. I feel like we'll want to go out and do it together after this. I don't know. But I feel like everyone's different.
I'm glad you guys are on the same page about that.
I am too, honestly. I'm looking at him right now and I'm like,
glaring eyes.
I'm like, that was a good answer.
He's like, how are you going to answer this?
But no, how about you?
If I need help, I'm going to blink twice.
I honestly think that, I mean, before quarantine, Deborah and I were spending all day together anyway, and now with quarantine we're spending all day together, but just inside rather than outside. So there hasn't really been a significant change for us. And I think even afterwards, like, we're both looking forward to the same thing, like going out to eat, mm-hmm, yeah, like going over to friends' places. So we're even going to see a movie. Like, we used to go to the theater a lot. So,
mm-hmm, yeah. And I'm kind of bummed too, because we were going to go to the movies like right before this all like started happening, as far as like lockdowns. And I tried to get like a ticket like 10 minutes before it started, and I didn't even think about that it was like a discounted ticket. So we couldn't go to the theaters, and that was our last chance too, really. So a little bummed about that. Again, going back to the seizing the opportunity thing.
Yeah. I think this whole experience has taught everyone that if you want to do something, then go do it, because you never know when you'll, yeah, not be able to do it.
It's metaphorical. Yeah, indeed. Definitely. I love it.
I was kind of thinking that I don't have any really grand, like, grand things that I want to do after quarantine. It's like, I want to go to a restaurant, I want to go to movies, but it's not like I want to, I want to change the world, or I want to, like, I want to go parasailing in, I don't know, somewhere.
So, we're going to Japan, so that's grand enough.
Okay, all right.
That's our big grand plan.
I kind of feel like everyone's sort of in the same boat with that too, because it's like, I was talking about this with some friends, and I just feel like it's almost kind of hard to like have goals right now. Just like the most mundane things are like what's achievable, and like I think what everyone misses most. So for me, yeah, I think it's like the same thing, just going to restaurants, obviously like travel in like Japan and stuff like that. But I think in a nutshell, like what I really want is just like normal life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like return to some of the basic things that we did the most, mm-hmm, before all this happened.
I'm just so real, yeah, down to earth.
I'm just a normal guy.
This is why I came in the podcast, just so everyone can know that you guys, I'm just real.
Oh my gosh.
I'm just like you.
Just like everyone else.
Humble.
Humble.
Can I ask you guys a question? Sure. Is there like a topic that you guys are most excited to talk about, just like in future in podcasts? I don't know, like after quarantine, or just, you know, whatever it may be. Is there something that's really like you really want to hit?
Game of Thrones.
That would be a good one.
That's true. That's been in our back pocket.
I want to hit that one with a fucking sledgehammer.
I feel like the ending of it will always be relevant to people, as far as it just pissing them off.
Just the raw emotion of,
right,
disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I think just talking to people. I don't know. I've always been kind of fascinated by like podcasts of, you know, interviewing different people and just kind of hearing their perspective on things. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, first step will be being able to record in the same room together. That'll be,
yeah, oh my gosh,
that'll be a big change.
That's gonna be the day.
Very, right, very, like, true. there are definitely advantages to being in the same place. Like, I think right now we talk over each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We might, you know, I might be saying something, and then Elijah might say something, and I might cut him off. Mm-hmm. And then I think in person, like, it's a little bit easier to gauge that. And then I think also if there are, say, three people on a call together, then that probably happens even more, because,
yeah,
different people jump in at different times.
Hmm. Well, thank you so much to our guest, Ryan, for joining us.
Happy to be here. Coming to the guest room from the living room.
We appreciate how far you traveled. We apologize for the lack of snacks. Someone's going to get a talking to after this.
Definitely. The traffic was crazy. Didn't have sparkling water, but you know what? We made it through.
Yeah, you had to brave a lot.
And.